in our study of the one another's, the next topic, the topic we're talking about tonight, is bearing one another's burdens. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, we read, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Father, we pray that you'll add a blessing to your word, and Lord, that you'll teach our hearts tonight, Lord, to bear one another's burdens and to grow closer together in your name. And Lord, that you'll be glorified for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, we're going to talk about bearing one another's burdens. And I'll tell you that as I went through the study, I really enjoyed myself. And one of the reasons why is I learned a lot. And second of all, I saw room for improvement and I was encouraged by it. And third of all, and most significantly, as I read through this, I see it in action here at our church. And that gave me a lot of encouragement to see it in action and see, hey, I see this already happening. And it's neat to see that God's people are already doing what they're supposed to do, and the church is being the church. And so that was a great encouragement to me, and it was very exciting. One of the many blessings that we have as members of the church are the called out ones, as we learned this morning. One of the blessings that we have is that God has provided us with brothers and sisters. And these brothers and sisters that we have in Christ are used to minister to our needs. And specifically tonight, we'll talk about minister to our needs dealing with burdens. Now, we should rightly define burdens. In this passage, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." And I want to define that tonight in its context as an extra, extra heavy load. This type of burden is a burden that's in excess of what a person normally has to deal with. We see later in this same passage, it says, "Every man must bear his own burden." And that's talking about one's daily task and what one has to deal with on a daily basis. But this burden that it's talking about here is something that someone has beyond what they normally have to deal with. Now,
I got off track. In 6:1 it says, and this is the verse I just quoted, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, we see here that it's talking specifically about a sin. And one thing I want to say is, an extra heavy burden could be because of a sin. But also, extra heavy burdens could be because of what we endure in life, because of a sin-fallen world. We are in a world where there's diseases, and there's sicknesses, and the like, and the reason why is because of sin. So we could have an extra heavy burden because of a specific sin, or we could have an extra heavy burden because of the sin-fallen world. And a Christian or brother or sister may be carrying an extra heavy burden because of just where they are in life. And to illustrate that, now to the illustration, as an example, on Friday, Ashley and I noticed that Ann Claire had a snotty nose and she was running a temperature. And it's normal for young children to have these problems every once in a while. And we gave her a dose of Motrin, and we monitored her throughout the morning. And we realized about noon that she probably needed the attention of a doctor. So Aunt Claire had a heavy extra burden that she normally didn't have to deal with. And it really messed up her normal routine and what her normal responsibilities were. She wasn't able to boss rigs around, and she couldn't perform the regular normal duties of standing underneath her mother's feet. So she had an extra heavy burden. What I found really amazing was that Ashley mentioned it to someone in church. Someone in this church group on Friday morning, that Ann Claire wasn't feeling up to par. And I know that now because this morning, three people came up to me. Three different people. And one, which was a guy, it's not even one of the ladies in the church. And it circulated that Ann Claire wasn't feeling well. And I assume that those people had already started to bear that burden with Aunt Claire and bring her before the throne of God in prayer and pray that she would get to feeling better. And that's an example of bearing one another's burdens. And this is exactly what the bride of Christ does for one another. Now, that's a very simple example. And we can go to the other extreme and talk about really difficult circumstances that people have to go through. But even just in the simplest examples, we see here that the bride is ministering to itself. And it's a beautiful picture of what's happening. Now, this action of helping each other, bearing their burdens, their extra heavy loads that they have, the difficulties that come up in life, this is motivated by love. And we see that in the rest of the verse. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And the question is, what is the law of Christ? And in Matthew, in chapter 22, and verse 37, we read, and this is verses 37 through 40. Matthew 27. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We also see that the Apostle John wrote in 1 John, in chapter 4, in verses 20 through 21, If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him. Here we go. This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. So we see that bearing one another's burdens is only natural to the children of God because we love one another. Now, tonight, in talking about bearing one another's burdens, there's three specific areas where I think that we can go further in helping each other and bearing one another's burdens. And the three specific areas are how we minister to one another and what we use to bear one another's burdens. And those three areas are, first of all, we can bear one another's burdens by encouraging one another through the Word. Bear one another's by encouraging one another through the Word. Second of all, we can bear one another's burdens through prayer. We can bear one another's burdens through prayer. And third of all, we can bear one another's burdens by serving each other. So bearing one another's burdens by serving each other. Now we're also going to talk about being on the receiving end of this. Too often we're too prideful to let on that we could use help or that we even have an extra heavy burden. So we're going to talk briefly about when you're the one with the extra heavy burden. We've all been there. Bearing one another's burdens. The first point, encourage one another through the Word. One time, not too long ago, I had a friend. And this friend of mine was having some issues in his marriage. And I had a chance to visit with Jace. And I know that Jace's a little bit older than me, and I figured that he had more wisdom than I did in this area. And I asked him for some advice on how to encourage my friend. I asked Jace if he knew of a good book that I might give to my friend, a book that might encourage my friend. And Jace's only answer was show him scripture. Now, at first I battled with this idea, and I thought that for sure there was a great Christian thinker that has practiced in marital troubles and carries a degree in counseling and therapy issued by one of the renowned universities in North America that I could give to my friend with some specific advice on his situation. But Jace was so narrow-minded, and he was so sure of himself, he just kept on repeating, show him scripture. Now this illustrates how easy it is for us to try to fix one another by what this world has to offer. In truth, who knows the institution of marriage better, someone with a degree or the one who instituted marriage? And so often, so many of the events in life are directly on that. Who knows human beings better? Other human beings are the one that created human beings. There's no amount of science that can be performed. There's no amount of medicine that can be practiced. There's nothing that can be done that can go further than the depths of the knowledge of God that God has of His creation. And so why would we try to minister with one another using something of this world? It just doesn't make sense. And it's so important that when we go to someone that is carrying a heavy burden, an extra heavy burden, that when we go to them, that we approach them with the living Word of God in our mouths and nothing of our own humanistic ideas. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and this is the part that's mind-blowing, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God has those things that make the man of God perfect for all good works. Now, my friend at the time
would have done very well to have heard, and not only have heard with his ears, but heard with his heart, the verses of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. What amount of marriage counseling do you think would be over with if men knew that and they understood that in their hearts? So we see that the Word of God, and this again is just an example, but everything that we need in life is found right there in Scripture. So everything to help each other, encourage each other, we can find the what they need, the nutrition they need, right there in the Word of God. And if we're going to help someone, let us carry Scripture to them. If we're going to go to them, let us have the living Word of God on our lips. So that when we speak life. So that when we come, there is nothing in our mouth that's tainted with anything from this world or anything from the flesh. Because what comes from this flesh and what comes from this world is poison. And it's not going to help us carry each other's burdens, to help bear one another's burdens. So let us come with Scripture in our mouth. Now there's an implication in here. Does anybody know what the implication is? Exactly. What's implied here is that we know what the Word of God says. In 2 Timothy in chapter 2, it says in verse 15, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's interesting about the word workman here, it denotes someone that has studied and has spent time seeking the face of God, and now he's armed with Scripture, he's armed with the living Word of God, and he's ready to work with it and to use it. It's of vital importance that we are equipped with the Word if we're going to help one another. Another fitting description that I saw, Paul described the Word of God as being our sword. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, he said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. A sword is a ready defense, and even with a sword you can attack. And so we know that the burdens that we carry, the burdens that we see our brothers and sisters carry, if we come with the Word of God in our mouth, and we come telling them, you know, thus saith the Lord, then we can be a great encouragement to them, and we can help them bear their burdens. It'll be a help to them in the end. The next point, we said, bear one another's burdens by giving them the Word. Second of all, bearing one another's burdens through prayer. Now, we're commanded throughout Scripture to pray for one another. Now, I believe that really and truly, this is one of the ways that we really know whether or not we love each other. Because when you get alone and you're not in a church group and you're by yourself and you're in your prayer closet, wherever that may be, and you go to say a prayer, what do you pray for? What comes out of your mouth? Are your prayers about you and your needs and what's going on in your life? Is that all you pray about? Which, of course, we're supposed to take all that before God, and we're supposed to bring that to God. But do you think of your brothers and your sisters in Christ? Do you have a love for them? And I would say that it's a good indication of how much you love the bride of Christ. And when I thought on that, I thought, boy, I need to do a lot more loving on my brothers and sisters and a lot more prayer for them. If you do remember them, it's a good sign that you love them. And we're commanded in Scripture to pray for one another. And we see that in several spots. In 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, I exhort therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, when I looked at that verse, I looked over it two or three times, and I wondered, Paul didn't just say, pray for your brothers and sisters, or pray for all men. I mean, he really emphasized this. He says, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. We see here an exhortation that we intercede earnestly for each other, even to the point that we give thanks for one another. Oh, that we would remember one another in prayer. How do we know what to pray for one another? That's another question. How do we know what we're going to pray for one another. Sometimes it's obvious that we have issues that we're dealing with. Sometimes some of us show it more than others. And we know that there's a problem. And sometimes it's not so obvious what our issues are. But how do we know what each other's burdens are? James wrote in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults to one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there's a point to be brought out here. Who do you want praying for you? I want men who are well equipped to intercede for me. I want men who are well equipped and know what's going on in my life and know what my extra heavy burdens are to be interceding with for me. Now, God's very good to us. He's very gracious, very merciful, and that He gave us Jesus. And that He gave us Jesus because we're told in Scripture that Jesus is interceding for us. But He's also blessed us with Christian men and women who can pray for us. And we should be transparent with one another. I've heard that word quite a bit, and I don't know that I ever heard it so much before I came to Hope Community Bible Church. But there's people around here who keep on saying the word, be transparent with one another. And it's such a good idea to be transparent with one another. And we are family. And we're the family of God, brothers and sisters. And I know that even with my family, we're a very close-knit family. I'm talking about my family unit that I grew up in, my brothers and sisters. I mean, there's no secrets. We tell each other everything. And we know that we're not going to judge one another. We know that we'll bear one another's burdens. And that's how it should be in the bride of Christ. We should be transparent with one another. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more. If we have a need or if we're battling a sin, then we should be ready to share it with a brother in Christ. And guess what? I want a righteous man. A righteous man who can approach the throne of God on my behalf to be praying for me. The Scripture says here that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. To know that I have brothers and sisters in Christ who positionally are righteous and they know what my burdens are. They know the burdens I'm carrying. I want them to be interceding for me. As Christians, we ought to be entering the prayer closet often to intercede for one another and bear one another's burdens in doing so. Third of all, so we've seen, first of all, that we can bear one another's burdens by sharing Scripture with one another, by knowing what the Bible says, by having it just soaked up like a sponge, ready to spill off on other Christians. Second of all, we can bear one another's burdens by praying for one another, by remembering one another, and then taking those burdens before the throne of God. Third of all, we can bear one another's burdens by serving one another. Now, I think the best example of this that we can see is in Scripture, is in John in chapter 13 and verse 4 through 5. And then we're going to skip some verses. It's going to be 12 through 17. It's talking about Jesus, and they were at the Last Supper. And in verse 4 it says, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and He girded Himself. And after that, He poured water into a basin, and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. And in verse 12 it says, So after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call Me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent him greater than he that sent him. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, there's a lot we can get from this, but I also want to compare another Scripture to this before we go further. We see that we can bear one another's burdens by serving one another. Also, James said, in James chapter 2 and verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? You see someone in need and you say, Well, I hope you get to feeling better. I hope you do better. You're not ready to help their cause, to lift their burden. What good does it do? If we're going to bear one another's burdens, we must be ready to serve as the example that our Lord Jesus set. Now, There's a very simple example that I see already in this body, and it's how the women of this church have served one another in the past. Every time a new baby hits the ground, the women of this church are so quick to have a sign-up sheet to make sure that this new mama again. We got a lot of those, don't we? Again and again and again. That the new mama again doesn't have to worry about fixing supper. Now that's the plainest example of bearing each other's burdens in a physical sense. Now the blessings, that's really the part that I was really excited about. The blessings that they're so numerous here. Everyone is blessed. No one is left out. First of all, the mama gets a little bit more rest. She gets a little bit more rest. And second of all, new papa, again, and all the other children have plenty of victuals. Plenty of food. I loved what Bill Waddell told me. Now here's a family that's almost getting large, okay? And he told me, he said, they think there's an army over here. There's so much food. And just the sacrifice, the heart of the people that are serving, it's really neat to see. And so we see here that the mama's blessed, the children are blessed. And then there's even a blessing for the one who cooked the meal, because Jesus said, he said at the end of that passage, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So there's a blessing of happiness for those who are serving, who are helping bear one another's burdens. Now this is precisely how God uniquely orchestrated the body of Christ, and that bearing one another's burdens, the entire body is blessed, whether it's by sharing the word, or by praying, or by serving. I mean, think about it. If you're going to help bear someone's burden, and you know that they have something that they're battling, you know they're going through something, and then you love them, and you see that, and your heart it has a heavy, heavy weight for that person, and you want to share Scripture with them, you want to give them some encouragement from the word, what are you going to do? You're going to go and you're going to open up your Bible and you're going to spend some extra time looking for something for them. And so they're going to get a blessing by the Scripture that you bring to them. And then you're going to get a blessing by finding more Scripture, by drawing closer to God and learning more about His Word. Think about this. If you see a heavy burden that someone has and you know that you need to be in prayer for them, that your heart's heavy for them, and you go and you spend more time in prayer with God, are you getting more of a blessing? Sure, you're getting a blessing. You're spending more time with God in prayer. And again, the example of serving others, like we just talked about. You get being able to serve those other people. We receive a blessing no matter where we are in the body if we're bearing one another's burdens. And we have a blessing in that. Now, the last part I want to talk about is receiving help. And for me, probably, This is one of the more difficult areas. Because for some reason, I guess maybe we're trained this way. From the time you're a little kid, what do you do on Sunday morning? You put on your best, right? And you hear stories. I know this has never happened to anyone here, and I know it's never happened to you individually. You get on your Sunday clothes, and all the children are dressed up, and then you get in your vehicle to go to church, and I know there's never been an argument, you know? And then you get there, and it's strange because I know there's never argument. When everybody gets out of the car, everybody's all smiles, and everything's good. And we go inside, how are you? I'm blessed. And all the burdens that we have, we like leaving, we like to put on our best. And it's so hypocritical. Because if we're the body, then we should want to bear one of those burdens and let everyone know where we are. And it's not that we want to come up here and just have a poor me powwow, but we should, if we have a burden, we should be willing to share it with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be transparent. I can't help you if I don't know where you are. And there's only so much I can do to find out where you are. There's only so much I can do to find out if you do have an extra heavy burden. It could be that, for example, that you're having a problem with an unruly child. And it could be that there's someone else in the church who's finished raising their children, and their children have a very good report.
People think highly of their children. And it could be that this person could impart to you some heavenly wisdom. So it would be in your best interest to be transparent and go to that person and tell them about your unruly child, which is an extra heavy burden to you. And then they'll get a blessing by being able to share heavenly wisdom with you, scripture with you. There's a blessing there for them too. Also, we should be aware. We should be where Christians can help us. We should be where Christians are able to see that there's heavy burdens in our lives. When you think about the body of Christ, our attitude should be, I'm going to try to be part of your life. Speaking to other Christians, I'm going to try to be part of your life because you're a vital part of me, because you're part of the body. If you're not available to me, if you're not involved with the body, if you never communicate with me, how can I help you? How am I going to help bear your burden? You lose out on the help, and I lose out on being blessed through helping you bear your burden. Whether it's being blessed by whatever way it is. And then also about receiving help, we should have a willingness to let others help us. We should have a willingness to let others help us. We see that the Apostle Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 5, likewise ye younger, in verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under that mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You see, it could be that God will show His great care for you through one of His children, through one of your brothers or sisters. Now, we should be also willing to hear what our brothers and sisters in Christ bring to us. Now, I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed in that my dad is also my brother. He's I feel like he's a very strong brother. And I was there a few months ago, and Daddy noticed over the weekend while we were there that when he said Riggs' name, Riggs didn't stop and turn around. He acted like he didn't know his name. Now, those of you who are parents know how important it is that when you say a child's name, that they turn and they come to you and they listen and they're ready to hear from you, right? Because when you say their name, often you're trying to keep them from danger. You want them to do something. You're teaching them obedience. And of course, as my dad's son, I want him to think that, you know, I've got it together, you know, even though I know that he knows I'm human. You know, I want him to think, hey, Ben's got a good family. Ben's doing well. And so we were there over the weekend, and I got a phone call about 2 days after we were back home. And you know what he was calling me about. Ben, I want to share something with you. And, okay, what do you want to share with me? He said, I noticed this weekend Riggs doesn't know his name. And at first I thought, well, that's you now. He knows his name. What do you mean? And he told me, he said, there's so many times I called his name, he kept going. He said, and I watched you and Ashley, you called his name, and he kept going. And you see, it could be that it doesn't seem like that's an extra heavy burden. But the consequences 10 years down the road, or 15 years down the road, could be very bad. And so when someone comes to us and they see that there's a burden that's going to be there, there's something we should be ready to receive that. And that's the body of Christ helping one another, bearing one another's burdens. The charge is, are we going to fulfill the law of Christ? Are we going to love each other as much as we love ourselves? It ought to be so here in the body of Christ. It ought to be that we should be diligent. We should work very hard to see opportunities and seek out opportunities to help bear one another's burdens. To find out where we can share Scripture with someone. To see where we can pray for someone in an area of their life, or to see where we could serve someone else in the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Father, our prayer is that we could do this, that we could help bear one another's burdens. Father, we pray that you'll bless your word, and Father, that we'll live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.